Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. We are here, this last day of this consecration weekend. And we praise your name, Lord. We praise your name, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for everything. We give you the praise and the glory. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, the Lord did not say that we should seek him in vain. Amen? So we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. Lord, we thank you because, as always, we know that the entrance of your word brings light. Oh, yes, Lord. Let that light shine into our hearts. Even this morning, can somebody say amen? Let the knowledge of the glory of God, hallelujah, in the face of Jesus Christ, let it shine in our lives this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's show some excitement in the house of God. Come on, you can do better than that. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, throughout the scriptures, this subject that we are going to talk about this morning, which is actually the subject of this weekend, this subject is throughout the scriptures. And that is the benefits of consecrated fasting. Amen?
Amen.
That's what I want to talk about this morning. So why do you talk about that at the end of the fast? Well, this is not going to be the last time that we're going to do it. So if you get a revelation about it today, or maybe next time, you know, you'll get more benefits from it. Amen? Can somebody say amen?
Amen?
So we're going to be talking for just a few minutes about the benefits of consecrated fasting. And we see that consecrated fasting throughout the scriptures is, you know, being used as a vehicle for, you know, getting answers to prayers. Now, in the book of Matthew chapter 17, I'm going to start there. There is a story in verses 19 through 21 of Matthew 17, but a few verses before that shows the man, he brought his lunatic son to the disciples, and they couldn't do anything with it. And they tried to cast out the spirit, they jumped up and down, you know, and they couldn't do it. You know, so finally, Jesus came, and then they said, you know, they asked the Lord, Lord, you know, why is it that we couldn't cast him out? That's in verse 19 of Matthew 17. And Jesus answered and said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, so he looked and pointed to one of the mountains right there, remove hence to yonder place, and he shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you if you have faith. You know, but he said, how be it? That's nevertheless. This kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Everybody say prayer and fasting. Let's say it again, prayer and fasting. Now in Mark chapter 2, in verses 18 to 20, the Pharisees and all of these people, you know, the disciples of the Pharisees and all of the crowd and everything, they came and they asked Jesus this question. Say, why is it that the disciples of John the Baptist and even the disciples of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and whatever, why is it that they fast all the time? But your own disciples, they asked Jesus, why is it that they are not fasting? Well, you see, those guys were not fasting. That's why they couldn't cast out those devils. You know, they were just enjoying the presence of the Lord, you know, the master is around and so forth, you know, which is good, you know. So Jesus answered them and said, well, see, he posed a question to them in answer to their own question. And he said, can the children of the, you know, bride chamber, can they fast as long as the bridegroom is with them? No, that's a happy time. They, you know, they can't fast, you know, at that time. But the days will come, saith the Lord, Jesus said, you know, when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast in those days. And we are in those days. Amen?
Amen?
Because Jesus was taken up. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he went up, you know. And he said, you know, the Holy Ghost will be coming back again. So in the first few verses of Acts, he did that, and then he promised them power when the Holy Spirit will return. So we know that Jesus was taken up, and he, you know, so these are the days that we should be doing the fasting and the praying. Now, there is a subject matter of fasting that was dear to the heart of the Lord. See? Because he himself fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. How many of you know that? Everybody know that the Lord Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights? Oh, sure he did. You know. And, you know, he was teaching on the subject of fasting in Matthew chapter 6. And he said to them in verse 16 through verse 18. He said, there is a good way, the right way to fast. You know, when you fast, he said. He didn't say, if you fast. Amen? Can somebody say, when? Say it again, when? He said, when you fast. See, that's Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16. He said, don't be as the Pharisees with a long face so that everybody will know that you are fasting. And you just walk like that. You know, I'm fasting. You know, then everybody knows that you are fasting. He said, no. He said, but anoint your head with oil. Hallelujah. You know, and don't let anybody know that you are fasting. You know, of course, in a congregational corporate fasting, you know, the rest of the people know that you are fasting, but not everybody else who's not involved. See. And then he said, but your Father that seeth in secret, he will reward you openly. Can somebody say amen? Now I'm going to talk about the open reward. You know, and before this service is over this morning, some of you are going to get a reward. And somebody say amen. Well, you see, because every time during these consecration services, you know, I seek the Lord and I say, Lord, deliverance for your people. And there's something that he's going to do for you this morning. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, so we laid a background there that Jesus, he taught on that subject, you know, many times and so forth like that. He taught about it, you know, and, you know, throughout the scriptures, we see, you know, many examples. You know, I'm going to show just three or so examples throughout the scriptures. I mean, it's all over the place. You know, I don't have time, you know, because we're still going to break bread after this, so I don't want to take very long. You know, so I'm going to show some examples where people use consecrated fasting to get some results. And then we're going to talk about what is consecrated fasting. So we're going to talk about that. But first, let me show some examples in the Bible. So the first example that I want to talk about is in the book of Esther. Now, we preached about this in the message table in the presence of your enemies. If you are not here when we preached it, you can listen to it. It's on the website, gmichurch.com, you know. And but we preached about this, you know, Esther in Esther chapter 4. And the story is there, but this part that I want to talk about is in verses 13 through 16. When Mordecai approached Esther that they had heard that the Jews were going to be destroyed because of the decree that Haman, you know, got the king to agree to, you know, and Esther said this, you know, in Esther chapter 4 and verse 13. You know, she began to tell the people, you know, that look, we need to seek the Lord. So let's see the way that Esther said it. Esther said in verse 16, he said, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, the palace area, the district there, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days. And I will do also likewise fast. And so I will go into the king, you know, which is not according to law, because you don't go in unless the king calls you first in those days, you know. So she said, well, you know, I may lose my head by doing this, you know, but you guys go and fast, and you guys go and pray, and get everybody involved. Amen? And if you don't know the rest of the story, listen to that sermon that I mentioned. You know, of course, they got the victory through that fasting. Can you say praise the name of the Lord? Now, in the story of, there is a whole city called the city of Nineveh. A whole city received the mercy of God because of fasting and crying unto the Lord. Now, you'll find that story in the book of Jonah, chapter 3, and verses 4 to 10. Now, this story of Jonah, in case some of you may not know it, you know, he was a prophet and God had sent him to go warn the people of the city of Nineveh back in those days that God was going to bring destruction to them. But Jonah wouldn't have any part of it. You know, Jonah actually didn't want those people to be spared, you know, because Jonah was sitting on his, you might say, his soapbox, you know, about the unrighteousness of those people, and he wanted them to be destroyed, you know, and because God said, look, go and tell them to repent of their ways, and I'll have mercy upon them. And Jonah, he wouldn't have any part of it, so he ran away. He didn't want to, you know, deliver that message. You know, well, God cornered him anyhow. Amen? Hallelujah, somebody. You cannot run from the message of the Lord. He'll get a hold of you. If you have to put you in the belly of the whale, so be it. He'll do it too. And he did it for Jonah. And finally, he came here, and in Jonah chapter 3, verse 4, you know, the Sunday school kids may know the story of Jonah and so forth, in the belly of the whale and all that. Jesus even himself referred to it, you know, but I don't want to go into all of that. In verse 4 of Jonah chapter 3, he said, yet 40 days. So he began to go through the city of Nineveh finally, you know. Yet 40 days, you know, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. You guys have 40 days. And this city will be overthrown. 40 days, that's it. You know, so he walked through and he said 40 days. And, you know, and here's what happened. So the people of Nineveh, they believed God. Or they believed the warning of God. And they proclaimed a fast. And they put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even unto the least of them. And the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he also arose from the throne. Amen? And he laid his robe away from him, and covered his head with sackcloth, and he sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast. In fact, he put it out right there. He said, even the animals, don't feed your animals. You know, because God is about to put judgment upon us, and we better call upon him. And he said, you know, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. See? But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let them cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone. See? Now this is the part of consecration that I want to talk about. Let them turn everyone from their wicked way. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Oh yes, that's the part that God is looking for. Turn from your wicked ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And when God saw their works, in verse 10 of Jonah 3, and he saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways. But you see, it's very hard to turn if you are not in consecration. You see, consecration makes it easier to turn, you know. And then we're going to see another aspect of that consecration. And when God saw that they turned from their evil ways, and they repented, you know, of all their evil, then God himself repented of the evil that he wanted to do. And he said that he would not do unto them, you know, as he said that he would have done unto them, you know. So they repented, you know, and hundreds of thousands of people were saved in that city because they turned on the Lord through prayer and fasting. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now there is another story here in the Bible of a very wicked king. His name was Ahab. Now some of you may know his story, but I don't have time to go into all of the devious things that he did. You know, but I'm going to read, you know, a proclamation against him by the prophet, you know, of the Lord. And I'm going to read what he did. 1 Kings chapter 21. I'm going to read what Elijah, you know, said to this man, King Ahab. Now, King Ahab was, you know, one of the most wicked kings that they had in those days. And he did a lot of evil, you know, and so forth like that. So, but in 1 Kings chapter 21, and starting at verse 25. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, you know, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up, you know. So, you know, they were like the wicked duo, you know. And, you know, he was wicked enough, but, you know, he compounded with his wife. That got on his back all the time, you know, and so forth like that. made him do all evil, made him kill Naboth for his vineyard and so on. You know, I don't have time to go into all that story. So he was wicked and did all kinds of abominations before the Lord. And he did very abominably in following idols, you know, according to all the things that the Amorites and so forth, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. So this Ahab was a very wicked king, you know. And it came to pass, sir, when Ahab had these words. Now, what were the words, you know, that he was told? See, the words that he was told in verse 17, here's what he said. He said, this is, and the word of the Lord came unto Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise and go down to meet Ahab, the king of Israel, which is in Samaria. For he is in the vineyard of Naboth, wherein he is gone to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed, and also hast thou taken possession? You know, and thus shalt thou speak unto him, thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall they also lick thy blood, even thine. And the Lord began, and Elijah began to bring, you know, the destruction, you know, the prophecy against Ahab and so forth. And Ahab said, have you found me out, my enemy, and all of these things and so forth. And the Lord said, behold, I will bring evil upon thee, you know, and I will take away from thee posterity. And I'm going to cut off, you know, your generations and so on. And I will cut off from Ahab him that pissed against the wall. You don't have a son in your family. I'm going to kill all of them. I'm going to destroy all of them, you know, and so forth. Just like you destroyed this man. The Lord began to bring judgment against him. And I will make the house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, you know, and so forth. And he made all this proclamation because you have provoked me to anger, the Lord said. That's in verse 22. And you have made Israel to sin, you know, all the idols and all of these other things that you are doing and so forth, you know. And of Jezebel, the Lord also said, the dogs shall eat, you know, Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. You know, so God brought this judgment. And Ahab, this wicked king, I'm talking about a really wicked king. When he heard all of these things, here's what he did in verse 27. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard those words, that he rent his clothes, and put on sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted, and lay in sackcloth, and went softly. And somebody say amen. Oh yes. And the word of the Lord came back to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how this Ahab has humbled himself before me? That's the most wicked king of Israel, the Bible said. You know. But he humbled himself with fasting. He sought the Lord when he heard the judgment. And listen to what God said. Seest how this wicked Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days. You know, I'm going to bring the evil nonetheless, but I'm going to spare his days, you know, and so forth, you know. But in his son's days, and I'll bring the evil upon his house. So the Lord, he prolonged the judgment a little bit, just because this wicked king fasted. How much more the children of the Lord? Can somebody say amen? That's right. So these are examples where people cried unto the Lord, and the Lord turned things around through their fasting and their praying. Now, turn with me to Nehemiah. And I'm going to start to go into how do we do this consecrated fasting. In the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, I'm going to read just verses 1 through 3 and see how what they did here when Israel gathered together to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting. See, back in those days when they called the fast, everybody joined. It's not like today, you know, when we call the fast, some people think it's not for them. See? Amen? Well, back in those days, everybody joined in the fast. When they called the fast, they were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves. Now, I'm going into the consecration now. The seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers. Amen? Now, in case you don't know what consecration is, I'm going into that right now. Consecration is separating yourself from all strangers. See, separating. You know, you say separating from all strangers? Absolutely. And they stood and confessed their sins. Consecration also comes with confession of sins. And they confessed the iniquities of their fathers, and they stood up in their place and read the book of the law, you know, the law their God. No, so if you are consecrating and you are not reading the Bible, well, maybe you are on a hunger strike. Maybe that's not exactly a consecrated fast, you know. But consecrated fasting goes with reading the book of the law. Can somebody say amen? They read the book of the law their God. Look at how long they read the book. The whole of Israel. You know, the whole of Israel stood there. 1/4 of the day. Now, if you think the day is 12 hours instead of 24, because Jesus did say, and there are 12 hours in a day, you know, so let's assume the day is 12 hours. You know, that means for 3 hours, they stood there and they read the word of the Lord. Can somebody say amen? A 1/4 of the day, they read the word. You know, just read the word, and we want to hear what God is saying. We want to hear from God. We want the word from God. That's what you do during consecration. You know, you separate yourself. You get a hold of that word. You know, they confess their sins and they worship. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh, you got to worship. You got to worship the Lord. And they did all of that, and you can read the rest of the chapter, how they confess their sins and so forth like that. You know, so that's a part of consecration. You should separate yourself from strangers. Yes, separate yourself from their strange things, you know, and so forth like that. You know, get away from, you know, all of that, you know, and so forth. That's not the time for you to be on the phone, you know, spend hours talking to your friends, you know, be on the internet, be on the this, be on the that, watch hours of television and so forth. No, you separate yourself from all those strange things, sir. Come into the closet. Get a hold of the word of God. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. That's consecration. You know, fasting goes beyond, you know, missing meals. It means also, you know, giving up some pleasures, you know, like television and some of these other things that you would normally do, you know, and so forth like that, you know, and spending the time for God instead. Now, let's see, when you begin to do all of those things, what is God going to do for you? Is the, you know, I'm going to go to a chapter of the Bible that I will close with, you know, when I get there in a few minutes. But before I do that, turn with me to Joel chapter 2. In the book of Joel chapter 2. And here's what the Bible says. I'm going to read verse 1, and then I'm going to read verses 12 through 9. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. You know, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, because the day of the Lord is coming, and it is nigh at hand. You know, so, you know, he said, come on now, you know, blow an alarm and tell the people, you know, to get ready. And how do you do it? You know, he said, you know, verse 12. He said, therefore also know, saith the Lord. Also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with your heart and with fasting. This is the Lord speaking. Come with me with fasting and with weeping and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not just your garments, and turn everyone unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful. Amen. And he is slow to anger, and he will repent him of the evil, you know, and so forth like that. You know, some people say, well, why are some cities destroyed? Why all of this? Well, I don't know, you know, but maybe there should have been some prophets, sir, that should have cried out like Jonah, and they didn't do it. Maybe they should have walked the city and say, repent and cry out. And I guarantee you, any city, if a whole city would fast. Amen. Or can you imagine the mayor of the city say, well, let's do it. And everybody, you know, gathers together in the city hall or whatever, and they fast and pray and seek the face of the Lord. I guarantee you, the Lord will spare that city. Amen. Because it's in the Bible. You know, so God said to them, who knoweth if the Lord will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, if you call upon the name of the Lord through the fasting. And maybe a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Now blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast and call a solemn assembly. You know, sometimes when we sanctify this fast, you know, some people don't think it's their, you know, business to participate. Well, gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Now listen to this. Now, he doesn't leave anybody out. You know, these are the commandments. You know, and if you read the rest of the chapter, it is, you know, in order for revival to return. See, so people say, well, we want revival. We want to see the glory of God. We want to do all of these things. Well, here's what you want to do. Gather the, assemble the elders. Gather the children. And those that suck their breasts. You know, no matter how young they are. Let a bridegroom, you know, say, well, I just married. They say, no, come out of that, you know, closet. You know, come out of there. Let the bridegroom come out of his chamber. Let the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, sir. Oh, yes, sir. Majority of that goes on the priests. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thy heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? And one of the days during this consecrated fasting, I came in this building, there was nobody else here, and did just this. I said, Lord, spare your people. Amen. The GMI church family. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh yes, and God, he gave me some words that I'm going to say over you today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh yes. And then the Lord, he began to say, you know, when you do all of these things, here's what I'm going to do. You see, then, verse 18, then will the Lord be jealous for his land, or you might say his people, and he will pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold! See, not only, you know, let's think about it for a minute. I mean, we're talking about fasting and so forth like that, which looks like something spiritual. But God is talking about prosperity here. Amen? Oh yes. You say prosperity? Absolutely. Read verse 19. He said, behold the Lord, he will say unto you, I will send you corn and wine and oil. Oh yes, sir. And ye shall be satisfied therewith. And ye shall no more be a reproach among the heathen. You know, when you seek the Lord and consecrate, you know, and do it right, God said, I will even take care of your finances. Oh yeah. I'll take care of your needs, the corn and the oil and so forth like that. Can somebody say amen? Amen. He said, and I will remove out from you the northern army. That's the oppressor, saith the Lord. I will remove him. Oh yes, sir. And we're going to have something to say about that before we leave this place today. He said, fear not, verse 21. O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. And you can read the rest of the chapter and all of that because of the consecrated fasting. Now, I'm going to jump right here to Isaiah 59, which is where I'm going to close this week. You know. And in this chapter of Isaiah 59, now whether you've read it before or not, I want you to pay attention to this. Because here's what the Lord will have me close this message with this morning. In Isaiah 59, if you read the first, Isaiah 58. In Isaiah 58, if you read the first few verses, you know, he's talking about, you know, the people complaining that, why is it that we fast, like in verse 3, why is it that we fast and so forth and there's nothing happening, you know. Verse 3, he said, wherefore have we fasted, they say, and thou seest not. They're accusing God that when they fast, God doesn't answer, you know. He said, we've afflicted our soul and thou takest no knowledge, you know. And God is saying, look, behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure, you are on the internet. Amen. You're watching the movies and so forth like that in the day of your fast. And you exact all your labors and so forth instead of consecrating and separating yourself from the strangers. You fight for strife and debate and so forth like that. You know, and Lord said, well, you know, that's not going to get you anywhere. But, verse 6, this is, God is going to tell you the kind of fast that he has chosen. You know, he said in verse 5, is this such a fast that I have chosen? He said, no. Now, is this not the fast in verse 6 that I have chosen? Now, here is what I want to bring out in this right now. In verse 6, is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness. Can somebody say amen?
Yes.
We're going to loose some bands of wickedness here this week. Amen? We're going to undo the heavy burdens. Hallelujah, somebody. Yes. The heavy burden that the devil has put upon you. The Bible says this is the time during the fasting to unloose and undo those burdens. Undo those burdens. Amen? Hallelujah. Break down the gates of brass. Cut in pieces the bars of iron. And let the oppressed go free. And that you break every yoke. Hallelujah. Can somebody say amen? Now if you have some yoke that you need broken, before we get out of here this morning, believe the Lord. Amen. Now you say, what is a yoke? Well, a yoke is something that the devil, you know, puts upon you to keep you behind God, your God-given destiny. Amen? Oh, yes. He puts it on you, you know, problems and so forth. The moment you're getting out of one, another one comes upon you. And all of that, and so forth. That's the yoke. And we're going to break the yoke, saith the Lord, by the power of consecrated fasting. Amen? That's right. You say, break the yoke? Absolutely. Is this not to deal your bread to the hungry? You know, well, that's what you do during fasting, you know. Oh, yeah. Deal your bread to the hungry. Yesterday we went out to the homeless shelter, took some bread, and took some of these things and so forth like that. Deal your bread to the hungry, you know, and that you bring the poor that are cast out into thy house, you know, and so forth like that. Amen? That's right. You know, when you see the naked, you cover him, you know, and you do all of these things, and you know, and so forth. Now, he said, you know, that's the kind of thing I want you to do. Now, listen to verse 8. When you do the consecrated fasting right, I want everybody to listen to this. Because this is where I'm going with this message. In verse 8 of Isaiah 58, then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Can somebody say amen? What does that mean? That means you will not walk in darkness. That means there will not be confusion to you. You know, I mean, you don't know what to do in your life. You don't know which way to go. You don't know how to make ends meet. You don't know, you know, what to, you know, what steps to take in your life. You don't know who to marry. You don't know this. You don't know that. You know, say your light. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Shall break forth as the morning. You will not be in confusion when you seek him with consecrated fasting. Okay. And thy health. You say health also? Absolutely. Thy health shall spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go before thee. And the glory of the Lord shall be the rare reward. Now let me tell you what that means. What is the glory of the Lord? Be your rare reward. He means he's got your back. Amen. And he's not going to allow anything in your past that's behind you to come back and get you. Because the glory of God will be between your past and you. Can somebody say amen? Now is that a revelation or what? The glory of God will keep your past in the past. Amen. And he will make light shine in your present and in your future. And you will not walk in darkness. And you will not have any confusion. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Then shall thou call and the Lord shall answer you. Oh yes. All because of consecrated fasting. You know, it's not going to be maybe he will. He said, the Lord shall answer you. And thou shalt cry and say, and he will say, here I am. Hallelujah, somebody. You ever say, well, I don't know if God answers my prayer. He said, well, you do this. You know, you separate yourself from all the strange things. You confess your sins before me. And you get into that word, and you consecrate yourself in fasting and praying, and you ask for my mercy, and I will hear you, said the Lord. That's right. He will hear you. And he said, oh, you know, here's some of the other things you need to do. Put away from the yoke and putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity. Putting forth of the finger, that's accusing somebody else. See? Don't put off the finger and so on like that. You know, people are always prone to point the finger to somebody else. Well, you look in the mirror, amen? Yes, sir. You're in a relationship and so forth and you're pointing finger at your spouse. You look in the mirror. That's where you need to look. That's where the fault is, sir. It's in the mirror. That's right. You know, you don't need to point the finger at somebody else, sir. You know? The Bible says you take, you know, get rid of all of that, you know. But if you draw your soul out to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall that light right in obscurity. The same thing again that we said, you know, obscurity, you know, darkness. And you're not going to walk in darkness again. Your light will rise. And God will bring you out. He said, I will reward you openly, that which you have done in secret. And somebody say amen. See, you know, you're not going to be in obscurity anymore. God will begin to bring you out into the open. And thy darkness will be as the noonday. Even the thing that you think is dark around you is going to be as bright as the noonday. Man, isn't that something? Oh, yes. And the Lord shall guide you continually. Oh, I love that. That's the best part of it all. The Lord shall guide thee continually. Because you have sought his face with consecrated fasting. So if some of you ever wonder, well, why should I even do this fast? Well, I'm telling you today. So next time, you know how to get in there and get the benefits. The Lord shall guide thee continually, and he will satisfy your soul when everybody else is in drought. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. When everybody else is crying, the economy is this and so forth. The Lord, he will give you corn and wine and oil, and he will satisfy your soul. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And it will make fat your bones, And thou shalt be like a watered garden. Oh yes, that shall be like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Everybody else's may fail, but yours will not fail, saith the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah! Yes. You say all of that for, you know, consecrated fasting? Well, you know, yes, because the Lord said so. Amen. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places, and thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations. Oh yeah, that's raised up the foundation of many generations. That means, you know, the work that you are doing now will continue for a long time. You know, that's what the Lord is saying, you know. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach. Oh yeah, the breach. You know, the thing that has separated between, you know, people and the glory of God. Thou shalt be called the repairer of it and making a way for the glory of God to return. Thou shalt be the restorer of paths to dwelling. All of these, you know, for consecrating a fast before the Lord. Verse 14, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon thine high places. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Thy high places upon the earth. Oh yes, sir. You will ride upon your high places. Oh yeah. And that's what God is going to do. He said he lifted up the beggars from the donkey. And set him among princes. Oh yes, sir. He will make you to ride upon your high places. Hallelujah. The writer of the book of Ecclesiastes said, you know, I've seen an evil upon the earth. You know, I have seen servants riding upon horses, but princes walking on foot. Well, when you consecrate before the Lord like this, and you seek him with all of your heart, he will make you to ride upon your high places. You will possess your possessions. Can somebody say amen? And the Lord will feed thee with the heritage of Jacob. And because why? He said, because the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Hallelujah. Now I wanted, you know, the Lord wanted me to bring this message. You know, even though it is the end of the consecration, you know, perhaps we could have brought it, you know, before. But, you know, next time when we have consecration, then you know. See, there are many rewards and many benefits for consecration. All of these things that we have talked about. And as we close this segment, I want to remind you of some of the things that the Lord is going to do for you so that we can pray together and believe God together. Here's what he said. He said, your light will break forth as the morning. Well, if you like the sound of that, you can say amen to it. He said, your health shall spring forth speedily. Well, that means the doctors gave you an evil report. You know, you went for a test and so forth. They said they found this or they found that. You know, he said, when you consecrate the fast, your health will spring forth speedily. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
You won't have to pay thousands of dollars for the hospital and doctor's bills. The Lord will take care of it. Oh my, you know, I'll give 3 days of fasting for that anytime. Amen. You see, and he said, your righteousness will go before you. You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 18, he said, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. You know, when your righteousness goes before you, the Lord will begin to open the way before you step by step as you go. Amen.
Amen.
And here's another thing that he will do for you. He said the glory of the Lord will be your rare reward.
Amen.
And I told you that before. He's going to make sure that your past doesn't come and haunt you again. It's going to be between your past and you. That's what the glory of God does. He keeps it in the past. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, and thou shalt call and I will answer. And I will say, here am I. Let's stand to our feet this morning and let's believe the Lord together. Those of you who have been fasting, this is the time for you to claim some of these rewards. Amen? Hallelujah, somebody. The Lord said it is time to loose the bands of wickedness and to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. Hallelujah, somebody. So in this prayer, we are going to do just that. We are going to loose the bands of wickedness. That has many meanings. It means within your life, you confess your sins before the Lord. You turn from your wicked ways. That's what it means. You prepare God an habitation in your heart. That's what that means. So you turn your heart completely to the Lord and you confess your sins. That's what that means. But it also means in this moment of prayer, Hallelujah. We are going to bind the forces of wickedness so that they will no more afflict you. Can somebody say amen? We are going to undo the heavy burdens. How many of you know that when, you know, you are so burdened down, you can't sometimes even get the burden off yourself? You need some help. And by the force of spiritual arms this morning, we will undo some heavy burdens. And we are going to break every yoke. Now, if that's you this morning, you have some yoke. Jesus said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. He said, look, I'll remove your yoke. My own yoke is easy. My burden is light. Trade your burden. Trade your heavy burdens. Trade them for my easy burdens. If that's you that this morning, you have been burdened down by fear and anxiety, there is deliverance here this morning. You have been burdened down by the heavy yoke that Satan has put upon you to keep you from your God-given destiny and from achieving your potential. There is deliverance here this morning. We can break every yoke through the power of prayer in this consecrated fast. If that's you this morning and you want some help, you know, I want you to take a step of faith and come and let me believe God with you. Come on, everybody, if you want that. You know, anybody, quickly, if you want God to do that for you, come forward and let me believe God for you. There's a special anointing that God gives when we do these consecration services. When we do these consecration services, there's a special anointing. And I have been seeking the Lord, not exactly for myself, but for everyone. And there was one day in this consecration fast that the Lord, he brought me the names of all the people and so forth, one by one like that, you know, and I began to pray. And I said, Lord, move upon such and such and so forth, and walk a miracle. And the Holy Ghost, he began to move in that prayer. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh yes, I already prayed that prayer in secret. Now God is going to reward it openly this morning. Amen. Now if you believe the Lord, say amen. Amen. He said the people believed God. See, they cried unto the Lord, and the Lord reached out for mercy. So every one of you that's here, you've had these problems, you've had these challenges and so forth. I'm going to believe. Let's come closer. Let's come closer. I'm going to believe. I won't have time to pray for everybody one by one, but I am going to pray this prayer of faith. I want you to join hands to somebody, with somebody, and we are going to believe the Lord together. We're going to claim this thing here. We're going to lose some bands of wickedness here this morning. Can somebody say amen? The things that the devil is using to hold you back, the fear and the anxiety in your life, you know, that devil crossing, that, you know, double crossing devil, you know, he'll put some fear in your life. And Job said in 3:25, he said, the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. You know, so the devil, he'll put some fear into your heart, and then he'll bring that thing upon you. Because he's the devil, you know, double crossing devil. But the Lord will deliver you from all of that. He said, the Lord delivered me from all my fears. He will deliver you from all of that and all the burdens and the yokes and so forth. So let's pray together this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift up the hand of the person you are holding. That's right. Lift up the hand that the person you are holding. The Bible says, you know, when Aaron and Hur, when they lifted up, you know, Moses' hands, the battle, oh yeah, the battle was the Lord's, and the Lord got the victory. You know, when you are weary and weak, somebody is lifting up your hand for you this morning. Hallelujah, somebody. Lord, in the name of Jesus, now lift up those hands real high. Lift the hands up real high. Lord Jesus, this morning, see the hands that are lifted up before you, Lord. We are your people, Lord, and we confess all our unrighteousness. We confess all our sins, Lord. The time that we should have sought you, Lord, that we didn't. The time that we allowed the multiplicity of iniquity in the world to make our own love to wax cold. We confess this before you, Lord, this morning. And we ask for your mercy, because thou art a merciful God. Amen. Amen. Now, Lord, we rebuke the bands of wickedness. Amen. The heavy burdens that Satan has put upon the people of God. Amen. Let my people go. Say it, I receive the mercy of the Lord. Amen. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Lord said, let my people go. Let my people go. Let my people go. Take those heavy burdens off. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord will now begin to break the gates of brass. and cut in pieces the bars of iron. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will bring rest unto your soul.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. The Lord, even your God, will give you peace. Peace in your habitations. And will cause you to inherit your possessions.
Amen.
And to ride upon your high places. And that which the Lord has purchased for you, every part of his purpose in your life, you will attain in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you as your people together. We rejoice in this deliverance today. We rejoice in this mercy of the Lord. And the Lord said, the Lord will guide you continually.
Amen.
He will satisfy thy soul when others are in drought. And he will make fat your bones. You will not lack anything. You will be like a watered garden. And like a spring of water whose waters fail not. So it is spoken. And so let it be. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You may go back to your seats. We give the Lord the praise. We give the Lord the glory for that. Amen.
Amen.
Now we are going to go quickly into the breaking of bread.